Blog Talk Radio.
Grind. To get what you want to be, you know that you gotta grind.
Shout out to my love over here, Michael Harrington in the studio, supporting him. Why? Say hello, baby. And then, of course, Tanya Melton, handling the business in the background. And all my grinders out there who support Grindle Brand, I appreciate you guys. I do not take it for granted. But before we get into today's topic, which is a really good topic, it's a really, really good topic. Let's talk about what we have going on. Every week, TTLO, we got big things happening every week, guys. I don't know what to tell you, but you got to get in where you fit in. We have Missional Mondays with my Reverend Dr. Dana King. He kicks off the week for us, you know, giving us all the good info when it comes to the Christian world. Ain't that right, Dr. Dana?
Yes, ma'am.
And he hooks us up on Mondays, and then on Wednesdays, right? We have our my sister coming back on Wednesdays, right?
Tuesday.
Okay, see. On Tuesdays, we have my sister coming back, Dr. Kimberly Thomas, Healthy Soul Talk. She's coming back on the 26th, right?
Yes, 28th.
On the 28th. And guys, I cannot wait, sister. I can't wait, sister, for you to come in and get our minds right. Then, of course, on Thursdays, you have your girl, myself, Lissette, and Grindleology, where we discuss all things professional. Just a little bit unprofessional, but all things professional. And then on Friday, guys, we close out our Fridays with Praise Break Fridays, of course, with my bruh, once again, Reverend Dr. Dana King, closing out the week for us, giving us all the good praises that we need for allowing God to give us a whole week. We survived the whole week. So that's tomorrow right here on TTLO. So, guys, you just got to stay tuned. Stay tuned. You know, chime in. Share with your friends. Share with your family members, because we have a great, 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 great topic today. Like the professional skills that we need to be successful. But before we do that, let's talk about some of the topics that are going on today, some of the nice little news that I so happened to research as I'm getting my professional informational engagement on. I like all that. You see how they all tied together. But let's talk about our first topic here. We have, of course, Mayor Compton. I got to pull it up here, guys, because Mayor offers 800 residents guaranteed income for 2 years with a new pilot program. So in Compton. And I mean, I felt like that was a really, really good article. It really sparked me, right? So basic universal income has become a conversation that has gained steam again since the start of the COVID and novel coronavirus pandemic and the massive job layoffs. Guys, we have a lot of job layoffs that are going on. We have millions of people who have lost their jobs. As a result, many people around the country have been severely impacted by the economic fallout from the virus. To curb this effect of the public health crisis, Compton's Mayor Aja Brown is creating a new program to guarantee a basic income for 800 residents within the Compton community. And it's called the Compton Pledge. I'm starting to like all these new names. You know, we got the Platinum Plan. We got the Compton Pledge. You know, we're going to just see a lot of these different programs pop out. But this one is a new pilot program, guys, in the city that is rolling out to help those who have lost their jobs due to the COVID-19 crisis. The new initiative will provide free cash, money,
cash,
dineros, coins, for 2 years,
rupees,
pesos,
dinero,
all of that good stuff, all yen, all that good stuff, whatever
lettuce
name you wanna call it, they hooking people up. 800, you so crazy. 800 people
racks
up
on racks
with
on
this
racks on racks,
racks, on racks. Bands, dinero, okay. So the new initiative will provide free cash for 2 years with a private donors. So people behind the scenes is contributing about $2.5 million to fund the project. So basically, the mayor says that, you know, I recognize that there's a need for additional income, especially with the pandemic resulting in record high numbers of unemployment throughout the entire country. And the mayor said in the Los Angeles Times, this is a great opportunity to address inequalities for Black and Brown people and also additional opportunities for upward mobility. The program will be targeted in the city's most vulnerable population, specifically in the Black and Latino communities, in addition to formerly incarcerated residents. So that's really good. So Brown is also following Stockton's mayor, Michael Tubbs, who created a similar cash program back in June of this year. She joined Tubbs in establishing the Mayor's for a Guaranteed Income to launch the pilot program in more cities around the country. So shout out to Mayor Aja Brown, who is giving 800 Compton residents who are impacted by COVID guaranteed income. So when you think about it, 2.5 million divided by 800, somebody do the math, what that is. That's giving how many people what? Let me do my math here. Hold on, because I got to see how much that is per person, see if that's
800 people. Hey Google,
what's that? Three.
What's 2.5 million divided by 800
for 2 years?
The answer is 3,125.
Oh, okay. Then Mike gonna say he knew that. I'm telling you, then you carry the two. That's how you do it. But shout out, because I feel like this, guys, any type of help is good help. You know, like I'm saying, like it might not be as much as we want to think, but people behind the scenes are giving and donating their money to help families and individuals. You know, 800 people, I mean, Compton is a big place, so 800 people is not a large amount of money. However, they're doing something. And that's what we have to do. And that's what we have to realize across the globe, that that is one of the most important things in this time, is to be able to just find our leaders, our political leaders, who are willing to help as needed. You know, we just want you, you know, we want y'all to help. Just help. That's all you got to do. Just help. So shout out to them. So let's talk about the next one, right? Which was really funny. It was one of the things, once again, that I was reading through my morning engagement, right? So we have a federal judge who stopped Trump from cutting food stamps for 700,000 Americans. So we had this judge, right? The U.S. District Court Chief Judge Burl Howe ruled Sunday that, you know, they're not going to cut these stamps. That's what he said. They're not going to cut these stamps in the pandemic. But he definitely ruled would radically and abruptly alter decades of regulatory practice, leaving states scrambling and increasing food insecurity for tens of thousands of Americans. So in December, the U.S. Department of Agriculture formalized a proposal that would limit states' ability to grant waivers to qualify for food stamps in areas with high unemployment. In areas with high unemployment, which really doesn't make any sense, guys. The rule would affect people between the ages of 18 and 49, who are childless or not disabled. So if you didn't have any children between the ages of 18 and 49 and you're not disabled, they ruling that they want to cut stamps. Now, here's the thing, guys. You know, some people probably got mixed emotions about this. Some people like, well, you know, these 18-year-olds need to get their butt up and get a job then. You know, get up and get a job, you know, between 18 and 49. I'm glad they're not, you know, hitting the seniors. But, you know, at the same time, that's 700,000 people, you know, in the United States. So the Agriculture Secretary, Sonny Perdue, says, we're taking action to reform our SNAP program in order to restore the dignity of work to a sizable segment of our population and be respectful of the taxpayers who fund the program. So Americans are generous people who believe it is their responsibility to help their federal citizens when they encounter different difficult stretches. That's the commitment behind SNAP. But like other welfare programs, when's the last time somebody said welfare? I don't know. That was just welfare. Like other welfare programs, it was never intended to be a way of life. So like he's really at this particular point saying, you know, yeah, we're supposed to help y'all temporarily, but food stamps ain't supposed to be everybody's, you know, your end all be all, where people is relying on it years upon years.
Yeah, that was never the intent. It was never the intent to and I am one who agrees that unless there is a disability in place, they could have easily corrected this by not allowing people to be on food stamps for more than 2 years.
Yeah.
It should have been a 2-year limit.
Yeah, I feel
and
like
it's easy for me to say that, you know, because I never had to be on them. But I'm telling you, because I saw so many people abusing the program.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you had told people 2 years, that's it.
They would have did something to do, needed to do. Now, see, when I look at these, you know, like, you know, potential, I think about, you know, families. I know how much it costs to feed a family of nine. So definitely that ain't no easy
win.
Wait,
hold on. Wait. There it is, two.
I said
okay, right.
That I know what it feels like to feed a family of nine. So I can think like, you know, stamps, you don't get them many stamps. These kids, they as they grow, they start to get hungrier and hungrier. You still counting? You wouldn't even Google that then. Google that. Because you just Googled how much it was for the...
I'm sorry. My, you know, I heard...
Mass. But I'm talking about, no, these kids don't eat Vienna sausages and stuff like that.
They want some crab legs.
No, they, yeah, they be talking about some,
need some crab jobs.
I want some steak, you know, I need some filet mignon. I need all that. No, you can't get all that.
Filet
mignon. Filet mignon.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, guys, that, you know, that was, like, one of the things that, like, I'm like, wow, he wants to, you know, cut it. But then when you do think about it, you think about the ones that actually abuse it, and he's saying that it's not intended to be a way of life. However, Howell said Sunday, the USDA has been silent, right, on the number of people who would be affected by its proposed changes to food stamps. Howell noted a May 2020 estimate found that SNAP rosters have grown by over 17%, with over 6 million new enrollees. So 6 million new people, and they're looking to see that this is, you know, they're projecting that this is actually going to increase, you know, as a result of the pandemic. You know, this is really what's going on. So as a result of the pandemic, the need for, you know, the food stamp program and the need for these, you know, particular resources are going to increase. They think that if they cut it between the ages of 18 to 49, who don't have any children and who are not disabled, that, oh, you know, they're going to get up and they're going to go find jobs. What jobs? What jobs are we finding when, you know, people are getting laid off? Businesses are closing, you know. So I can understand where the judge is coming from this aspect. And shout out to that particular judge who was really looking out for, because, see, now we're talking about abuse. Oh, yeah, you know, this is the taxpayers' money. But let's think about what the politicians are doing right now with the taxpayers' money. You know, they doing more than, you know, feeding people and doing a food stamp program. They funding their own little agendas, you know. So let's start looking at the real cause of waste, fraud, and abuse. And let's start looking in and digging into what we really can be cutting back, and stop trying to, you know, put it on the citizens who really need this food stamp program. I mean, I'm just saying. Now, that's not including the people who sell their stamps. I don't know about all that. I'm not gonna step on nobody's toes about that. But I'm feeling like, you know, if you really feeding your children, if you really utilizing those stamps to, you know, provide for your family, then it's needed. And it's not, I mean, when you have teenagers, you know how much they eat one link card by themselves. I think they need a link card apiece, to be honest with you. These kids just, they don't eat sandwiches and Hot Pockets. They be wanting to make whole dinners, you know? So, I mean,
sausages.
They don't want the the carnival hot dogs or the Scott Peterson's anymore. They want the good stuff, you know? So, I'm just saying, guys, that, you know, in times like this, especially when it comes to the corona, right? Almost 2 million people in the city cannot, in New York alone, right, cannot afford food currently, and are forced to wait into an increasingly long food pantry line. I mean, that just within itself is saying that even the need that we're meeting with the food stamp program is not that sufficient. It's not as sufficient as we would want it to be, you know? So, I mean, and then it's reported by the Association of American Medical Colleges, reported 54 million Americans are dealing with food insecurity due to the pandemic. And if things don't change soon, the number would grow larger by 2021. So, guys, I mean, that is really important when we're looking at, you know, just the different aspects of, you know, what we're providing. You know, I feel like just as individuals, it's important for us to engage with others that we see that are in need. And, you know, and just help out. Now is the time to be helping out. Now is not the time to be talking about cutting back food stamps. You know, but somebody got to find some way to get some of that money that, you know, they've been giving the $10,000 out to everybody. They got to find some way to reconcile that. So, hey, I guess that is what it is. So, guys, before we get into our topic today, the job skills that we need to succeed in the post-corona, because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to be able to help people and help someone get to that next level. Because once it's all over, once everything starts to, you know, mellow down and everybody's back out into doing their, you know, their own life activities, we got to make sure that we have the skill sets necessary to go to the next level, to lock in on the jobs. And how do we do that? What job skills are we going to need to succeed? And we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get right into that particular topic right here on Grindology. TTLO. Hold on one sec. back. We're back. Thank you so much for holding on my tools. Bring it on down. Bring it on down. Bring it on down. Down some more. How low can you go? Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Grindology, where we're studying all things professional. And today, guys, we have a great, great, great topic. Job skills needed to succeed in a post-coronavirus world. And shout out to the contributor of this particular article, which is Bernard Marr from Enterprise Tech. We appreciate your resources there, sir.
What's the name again?
Bernard Marr.
Oh, Bernard. We thought you said Maynard.
I didn't say anything about Maynard.
Okay.
Just shout out to Maynard. They want you back, Maynard. They want you back.
I need to go to Menards. No, it's Maynard. It ain't Maynard. You over there saying it like it's Menards. Get the man name right. Maynard.
You know what? Maynard, I just need you to come on back.
Right. Pimp name,
I'm
going
to bring you back on the show, bruh, because right. They just love name, to Maynard. See you. They got to say your name like once a year. Well, they say it almost like every other month. They just love saying that name. So they're going to start investigating to see where you inherited that name, because they don't believe it just came off the top. So, guys, let's talk about this, right? The job skills that we need to succeed in a post-coronavirus world. We know that, you know, at the end of the day, guys, we're going to need to prepare ourselves. There's so many people who have lost their jobs due to, you know, this coronavirus. Businesses have shut down. People have been laid off. And what do we do now that we're in this situation, right? So we're in this process. We're laid off and we're getting unemployment and we're trying to make this happen. But at the same time, we need to look for a job. We need to identify what we need to do and what skills we need to have. So that's what we're going to talk about today. What are the skills? What are the skills we need to have? First skill, guys, we need to have is flexibility and adaptability. You got to be able to be flexible and adapt. The author basically said that there's not going to be a lot of jobs. You know how your mom and your mom's mom and your dad, y'all worked, you know, they worked at Nabisco for 25 years and they were able to retire, or they worked for the city, you know, 30 years and they're able to retire, or they work for the post office 30 years and they're ready to retire. They say jobs for life are going to be few and in between. There's not going to be such a thing as jobs for life. So in understanding that, guys, we will need to be able to adapt to an ever-evolving workplace and have the ability to continuously update and refresh our skills. We can't never get to a point where we feel like, you know, we know it all or we are there. You always have to find a skill that you need to engage in or develop to be more employable. You just have to. We got to. First one, right, is to have tech savviness. With everything that's going on right now, guys, technology is running our world right now, especially during the COVID. You know, everybody is using some form of technical, you know, platform, technology, Zoom, Lives, WebEx. I think I switch on a daily basis. I switch through multiple meeting platforms. I'm on Zoom, then I'm on WebEx, and then I'm on Google Groups, or what is it, Google House, or one of them Google platforms where you just sitting around just, you know, engaging with everybody. Then you start getting into that social media. Thousands and thousands of people are engaging live on social media. So that lets us know that we have to be tech savvy in this world today. We got to have some form of technological skills. Artificial intelligence is going to the next level. I'm getting into that process of myself, getting into the understanding of what big data is and, you know, and data analytics and, you know, and just having everything go to the next level. The pandemic is fast tracking digital transformations in companies. So a company that is hiring at this particular time needs an employee or a candidate that is tech savvy, knowing how to operate Microsoft Outlook, Word, Excel, Microsoft 365, SharePoint, all these particular platforms we have to dive into. And these things, you guys, we can be able to get easily. We can be able to just Google and research places and companies who are really giving these classes away for free, especially now. I know Shaw University, like if you're ever on Facebook, they pop up all the time. Shaw University, they have a digital Microsoft class. Or, you know, it seems like sometimes now when you think about something, it pops up on your phone. You could be thinking about, you know, I was sitting there, I was like, I was talking to you about something, babe. It was like, I don't know, it was something about chicken or something. Then next thing you know, I get dozens of pings about chicken. I mean, it's just one of those particular things we have to have, whether you work in a factory or whether you are, you know, in an accounting office. In a post-coronavirus world, you need to be comfortable with tech tools as well as being able to work with them effectively. You have to be able to put these things on your resume. They look good. Especially if you're going, I don't care what level, if you're going in for a manufacturing job, right now robots are getting into that trend where now, you know, companies are using robots to handle things and machineries to handle things. And if you know how to program something, if you know how to, you know, push a button, you need to put it on your resume. You That's need to you, identify it.
You see a lot of these schools teaching kids how to code at early ages.
Yeah. Kids are coming out the womb coding.
They ain't playing
now.
Games. They're coding. They're creating their own games. Because in China and in Europe and in these other places, these kids are being taught from the get-go. Don't play the game. Design the game and get rich.
Absolutely. And then you know what, Dr. Dana? That is so true. Like, you know, where I work now, they're, the workforce at my job is predominantly Indian. So everyone from that particular, what did I say? Well,
I'm
so crazy. But for the most part, I mean, they're training their kids in tech, developing tech. They're training them in developing tech. They're training them in data science. They're training them in every aspect of tech. And it is so important that even for us, we might need to know a minimum of technology, but we got to be tech savvy. But our children, they got to be embedded in it, because you know they're teaching program right out the womb. They're going right now. You have babies, nieces, uncle, nieces, nephews, daughters, godchildren, who at this particular point they handle a phone like it's breathing. They get on your phone and they just start swiping, and they know where to pull up YouTube to get Baby Shark and all these other things. Like, they are trained out the womb to start engaging in technology. So for us guys, we have to do what is needed to develop that skill set. It's important. Another skill set that we have to have right now post corona virus and to prepare ourselves is we have to have creativity and innovation. You know, it says, the author actually says, we have already seen the importance of creativity and innovation during the pandemic. I mean, a lot of businesses have, I don't know about you guys, but I've seen a lot of businesses that have been birthed as a result of the pandemic. You know, people have gotten creative. They went from, like, the masks we knew was the first thing to start to spark up. Now we have, you know, designer masks, masks of every color, shape, size, form. You know, they have the ones with the little breathing thing that makes you look like Bane, and they got all these other different types of masks. And then someone said, okay, you know, I'm going to solve another problem. I'm going to get the mask clip, because how many times we leave out the, you know, the car and forget our mask, or leave out of the office or walking around when you have to be in the office and wear your mask and you've been left it on the desk or something. I know I'm pretty much a suspect.
That's
in that
the
one.
Worst thing in the world, to be like parked your car and then walked all the way to where you need to be and
yes.
realize your mask is still in the car.
Yes.
And
that
you,
is the thing.
You
got to
turn around and you, and especially if you parked a long way.
A long way.
Or if you're in the house and you'd have made it up the stairs. And or I'm sorry, when you where you have to go up some stairs the way you're going, and then you realize you got to go back to the parking lot.
Yeah. I have walked in into stores and just realized I didn't have my mask on. You think I'm going to walk back out? I don't care about you looking at me crazy. Now I'm at risk. You ain't at risk. You got your mask on. Now I look like the disease. I look like the coronavirus. When you don't have your mask on, people look at you now like.
You look like your name could be Corona.
It's like you look like a virus right
Sharona.
Now, a walking virus. And
right.
I be sitting there like, man, like, dude, act like you ain't never, act like you never forgot your mask. You know, like right now, people, they wanna hang you for that. They wanna put you in jail for not having your mask on. They look at you all cross-eyed, and I be like, look, you know I left it in the car. People rush out the car all the time. But the author is actually saying businesses that have been able to come up with ways to deliver services virtually, like healthcare providers, like we have those now, doctors on the go. Like that right there, like prior to us even having this whole pandemic thing going on, we had doctors on the go, where you can virtually meet your doctor or engage with your doctor about something. Like people were like, literally, you didn't think that they were really preparing for this, what is happening, but they really were. You know, like they put a lot of things in check to try to make this thing, you know, sufficient. So it's like just those things, from, you know, innovative breathing aids and everything to better weather the storm. A person who is looking for a particular job after Corona has to have the ability to be creative and innovative. You have to look at ways to solve problems. Human creativity is going to be the essential in post-Corona. You're going to have to use your creativity. You know, another area in which we have to build our skills in after the coronavirus, guys, is data literacy. Right now, the actual, you know, the author is saying that as the fuel for the fourth industrial revolution, data is a critical asset for every company. With the right data, companies are able to predict the impact of the future business disruptions and are better able to serve customers with the right products and services during any pandemic. Now, I'm 17 years in human resources. 17 years, but probably a little bit more now that I'm counting. But in that process, I've seen human resources go from just pushing paper to having HRIS systems that actually take the paper pushing and put it into the system, to now the reporting and analytics processes that are pumping out of HR. So it's not just that clerical office secretarial type of job now, as much as it is as a business partner. We have to kick out these reports. We have to kick out this data and show it to the company so that they can be able to make decisions. Companies that understand business trends and shifting customer needs are better able to respond the right way using data. They're doing this big data thing, data analytics. You see it now, guys, coming across when you stroll through Facebook, when you stroll through any of your platforms, when you go to your check your emails, you see all these ads that are popping up that are talking about data analytics. You have to take those particular classes. You have to kind of like, even if you're not managing data, you have to have that particular skill set, because you yourself as an employee can be able to predict some of the information, some of the things that are going on within the particular company just by looking at their data. You know, if you got that type of access, you know, other than that, you can just be on, you know, a fly on the wall watching and see certain things and can be able to predict it. But gone is the day, guys, of just paper pushing and running all these reports on Excel. Like spreadsheets are starting to become null and void now. it becomes more data visualization. It's now more, you know, dashboards and reporting. You were not, you know, you when you can manage an Excel and do, I think I can do like maybe five formulas and a pivot table. I can do a little macros too. But if you can do those things now, it's starting to be null and void, guys. You have to know a little bit more about data analytics. So data literacy, professionals with data literacy will be even more appealing to prospective employers than ever before. Let me tell you something, guys. Even if you're just going into manufacturing, even if you're going into one of the entry-level jobs, if you just take that particular class and put it on your resume, they still know that you took the time to engage in certain levels of business as it relates to data analytics. I don't care if you're flipping, you know, burgers at McDonald's. I don't care if you, you know, answering phones. If you take those particular classes, they see that you are looking to increase your skill sets. And that's really what's important. The skill sets, the ability to have data literacy also gives you a skill set of, you know, analyzing. You can be able to analyze. You take the time to think things through. It allows you to use your antennas and get those things figured out. It allows you to be a better troubleshooter as well. So those are the things, you know, you need to look at. Another area in which you need right now to help you be more, hireable post-corona is critical thinking. Now, I talked about this in my when we were talking about the having the debating skills in my one of my previous shows. But critical thinking is another skill that is essential as our global economy rebuilds from the damage done by COVID. You know, during the pandemic, we have seen a spike in fake news, misrepresentation of data and studies as leaders, businesses, and governments are trying to shift the blame and divert attention and proper scrutiny. People who can objectively evaluate information from diverse sources. That means, guys, using your critical thinking cap to analyze data and resources that are coming at you. You know, sometimes we try to take all news as real news. When some of that stuff is fake, some of it is embellished, some of it is just far-fetched, completely far-fetched. But sometimes as people who have the ability to think critically, we look at those particular sources and we try to identify the truth by comparing multiple sources. Okay, 9 times out of 10, if someone tells you, and this is just crazy, guys, but if someone tells you, you know, oh, yeah, a movie star died, what's the first thing you're going to do? First thing you're going to do is you're going to Google. If it pulls up within 1-2 hours on multiple platforms, you know, preferably like, you know, CNN or BET, or if you start to see it on multiple platforms, then you can get to that point and say, oh, yeah, so-and-so really did die.
Oh, I was going to say, first thing I say is who got the body, but.
That's the first thing you're going to say?
Who got the body?
You crazy. I ain't got time. But those are the things that we have to do. Critical thinking allows you to look at all aspects of a particular business, even no matter what level you are, guys, in your position. You know, no matter where you are in the company, what level you are in the company, the ability to think critically will help you in your job. The communication on your resume to tell people that you have the ability to think critically will help people look at you differently. You know, they're like, oh, okay, he just don't want to just flip burgers. He really wants to make an impact. You know, he really wants to see how he can be able to shave time off of his productivity. It's things like that, guys. Just having that skill will make you well-rounded in any field, in any field. So, guys, let's look at ways that we can be able to develop our critical thinking skills. No matter what organization, they rely on critical thinking to understand what information should inform decision making. When you know how to think critically, means that you know how to make the right decisions. And that is what a hiring manager or a recruiter is going to look at. Another area, guys, that's a very good skill set to help when it's time to start going out here and looking for these jobs, guys, is digital and coding skills. So the author is saying the digital transformation of organizations got a boost because of the coronavirus, the digital transformation. Therefore, professionals with digital skills, including coding, web development, and digital marketing will become even more important than they are now. Right, people who can keep a digital business running and thriving during the economic downturns or pandemics that make in-person business impossible or less efficient are going to be the most hired. And basically, all companies are now digitally based in some type of way. So it's just letting us know, guys, that, you know, we're transforming into this digital world. You know, there's no, like, right now, we want to say that, you know, we want to keep the, you know, in-person engagement. We want to, you know, continue that process on. We want to engage. But I'm telling you, it's going to take a while for us to turn back into that type of world. Everybody's going to be leery. Everybody now, when you think about it, within a second, somebody's going to breathe on me and I'm going to get hit with this virus. It's not going to just be once everything is over and everybody goes back to work and they say, okay, we got a vaccination for this. People are always going to be leery. People are going to always be at arms with this whole process. So in it, we know that is going to change how people conduct business. You know, so we have to know that digital and coding skill to help us be more effective. You know, if we know how to do web development, I mean, I feel like this, guys, anyone, even if you're starting a business, especially if you're starting a business or you're an entrepreneur, you need to know how to do web development. Right now, it's not even as difficult. It used to be difficult when we used to have WordPress. That's how I used to start. I started doing websites on WordPress. And I was doing it on Adobe. And now with the AI intelligence that we have now, you can spit on a website and it pops up and it's up and running with the SEOs and all the other good elements and features of a website. So it's not that hard now, guys. It doesn't take that. But to take that class, there's a lot of free web development classes. You know, you don't have to pay hundreds and thousands of dollars or get a bachelor's degree in these particular areas. All you have to do is take a class. And some of them are really, like, you know, they're self-paced. So you really don't have to go through all the extra to get these particular skills. But it's something that is really healthy and will benefit you on your resume. No matter what job you're going for, no matter what part of the industry you are, if you take these particular skills and you just put them there, they're going to look and they're going to say, oh, you know, they're looking at this. And then when you get in the door for that interview, they're going to ask you about those particular things. What do you plan on doing with this? You know, and just for the sheer fact of saying, I wanted to increase my skills, I wanted to engage, that lets people know that you are dedicated to your development. And if anybody, I don't care who it is, if you have a hiring manager and engage with someone who's interviewing you and they see that you're in that process of developing yourself, they're going to respect that thing. I'm telling you, I know I would. And I interview all the time. So I would say, guys, that is a really good skill to have. Another really good skill to have, guys, that will help you during this post-corona, when everything is back to quote unquote normal, is leadership. You know, one of the changing things in the world is how we support our teams, right? How do we lead others, right? How do we connect and hone in to our leadership abilities, right? How do we encourage collaboration, right? How do we get the team to move forward, especially now when everything is so crazy. We got a lot of people working from home. You know, we got some of the workforce is working, The other people are watching Maury Povich. But other than that, when we get to the point of managing a team, how can you manage a virtual team? You know, that makes a difference. Your leadership determines that. How do you manage a team when they're so inundated with safety and health regulations and compliances and having to engage in customer service in a different way and look at people and say, you know, you got to wear your mask. You can't come in with your mask. You got to clean your hands. Can I take your temperature? All these particular things that are shifting in the world, it takes a good leader to be able to keep the momentum going within your team. It takes a good leader to be able to engage in those particular levels. So having leadership skills, guys, is extremely important. Taking classes that teaches you how to manage and how to lead allows you to lead even when you're not a manager. You know, I heard that some of the best leaders are the best followers, you know, or the best followers are the best leaders, either way you want to take it. But for the most part, guys, if you're leading a team, or even if you show that you can motivate your team, or you can always take or go the extra step as a manager or as an employee, will help you, you know. And it also allows you to put those good successes on your resume. One of the things now that I'm going to tell you guys, and we might have to do a whole nother different, I think every year I have to end up doing like a resume segment. But one of the good things to put on your resume is how you have led certain, you know, particular projects. If you've even led, a team within your within a previous job, put that in there. Talk about the successes. Talk about the things that have took you to the next level as a, you know, as a leader. That stuff gets looked at, I'm telling you, on the resume. If I look at it, I'm like, oh, okay, this person got leadership skills. You know, they work well with teams. They motivate teams. They like to take the lead, you know, and it also shows that they're capable of following, you know, especially depending on what position they in. I'm just saying, guys, that's a good skill to have, great skill to have. Another skill set, guys, that you would have that you need to develop in order to be prepared for post-corona, right, when everything is all back to normal, right, is emotional intelligence. This one right here, guys, really gets me to this next level, right? Emotional intelligence, right? So the author says, closely linked to leadership is another skill that is even more important in certain in uncertain and challenging times. Emotional intelligence, also known as EQ, the ability to be aware of, express, and control our emotions and be aware of others' emotions is what emotional intelligence is all about. See, now, I've never really engaged in this thing, right? I never knew it was a thing until, like, I read this book. It was called The Executive EQ. So it was talking about emotional intelligence from an executive level. And they've always been talking about this from an executive level, but they have never really talked about emotional intelligence from, like, an entry-level standpoint. So that right there really gets me, right? So the ability, once again, guys, to be aware of, express, and control our emotions and be aware of others' emotions is what emotional intelligence is all about. So the ability to hone in on your emotions, the ability to look at someone and know that they're in an emotional process as a professional or what their emotional intelligence is and know how to effectively execute your emotions. That's something. That's next level. I feel like that they developed that for our children now. Because our children, I don't know, for the most part, some of the youth, they don't know how to hone in on their emotions. They all over the place with their emotions. So I feel like this is something they need to teach in school. This is something that needs to come in to play right there with economics and, you know, and professional development and everything else that they want to teach in the high schools now. Emotional intelligence is one of those skill sets. So it says, at times when people might feel uncertain about their job and the future of their business, it is a key to connect with people on an emotional level. You know, emotions sell. You know, if you want to market, people market do donating campaigns and everything that is driven off of someone's emotions. So individuals with strong emotional intelligence will be coveted by organizations of all sizes and in all industries. So it doesn't matter where you are in a specific role. There doesn't matter where you are as a professional, what industry that you are in. If you hone in on the skill set and develop on emotional intelligence, it's a good look. It's a good look for anyone who is looking to develop themselves to become more employable, to stand out amongst everybody else that we're competing with when it comes to these jobs. Emotional intelligence is one of those areas. And guys, last but not least, you have to be committed to this. You have to commit to a lifetime of learning. So according to the World Economic Forum, right, in just 5 years, 35% of the skills deemed essential today will change. So I'm going to say that again, guys. Just in 5 years, 35% of the skills deemed essential today will not be essential tomorrow. So there is only one way to remain relevant in a post-coronavirus reality. And the author says that's to commit to a lifetime of learning. When faced with a tight job market, professionals with advanced and expert job skills will still be in demand and will likely struggle less to find employment. So that's just what it is, guys. If you commit to constantly developing yourself, if you commit to constantly learning, constantly taking these courses, you don't have to go to school for another 8 years to master these particular things. Now it's just time to hone in on the skill sets that you have. If you already possess these particular skills, if you're already creative, if you already have a tech savviness, if you already know how to do digital and coding, if you're already a leader in these particular areas, there's always room for growth. There's always a way that you can learn and go to the next level. So when faced in a tight job market, professionals with advanced skills and expert job skills will still be in demand. You'll still be there. You'll still be good. You'll still be hot. Today, it doesn't require years of studying. Hefty loans, you know, just getting loan after loan. It does not require that. You know, sometimes we look at this, guys, especially in our age group where we're, you know, in our 40s or we're in that higher upper bracket. Sometimes we feel like we don't have the time to learn. You know, we don't have the time to take these classes. We don't have the time to, you know, dedicate a few hours in our day or an hour in our day or an hour in our week to learn and develop, you know, whether it's reading a book, whether it's taking a course, whether it's doing, well, sometimes we feel like, okay, I'll run my day to day. You know, I have to take care of my family. I got to feed my family. I got to work a 9-to-5. And then you might have your own business that you're trying to start. So sometimes the difficulty, guys, is squeezing all that in and still taking the time to develop, still taking the time to learn and hone in and develop these skills so that you can stand out. It's important, guys. But if you take those particular processes and take the time just to dedicate a little bit of your time, guys, just a little bit of your time in developing your skills, it will help you. It will keep you engaged. It will keep people looking at you. And that's one of the things that I'm thankful for. Like, you know, guys, let me tell you something. You got to have a LinkedIn page. If you're a professional, get yourself a LinkedIn page. There is no way, guys, at this moment that anybody is in a professional world without LinkedIn. And all hiring managers, let me tell you something. The people come and look for you if your LinkedIn page is on point. The recruiters come for you if they see that you have a certain level of skill set that they're looking for. You know, you become more visible. And as a professional, it is important for you to become more visible. I'm going to have to do a show on elements of a great LinkedIn page, because you got to have one. You have to connect and you have to network as a professional. If you don't have no LinkedIn page, you're not a professional. I'm sorry to tell you. You know, I don't care if you are in retail. I don't care if you are in food service. I don't care what level you are, from entry level to executive. You have to have a LinkedIn page. You have to engage with people. People who show that they have one or they are visible, it takes. I have done a lot of searching, seeing people that didn't have a LinkedIn page. I'm like, how you out here? You know, if people want to verify you, if they want to verify what you say, having a LinkedIn page is the proof in the pudding. So, guys, just a few examples. Artificial intelligence and machine learning courses are good. Data literacy and data science courses are good. Emotional intelligence courses are good. You can find these things. Just look on these particular platforms, Coursera, EDX, Audacity. I call it Audacity, but it's probably Udacity. It's one of those. Future Learn, Iversity. You can go on the Shaw. You can, you know, just research. Use that time, guys, where we're sitting around on social media and flipping through and trying to see who has the next best something on Facebook, and take those particular, you know, classes. Take those courses. Develop your skills. Lock down on the opportunity to improve your skills so that you are ready when this job market opens back up. And they're going to open back up. It's not going to be like this forever, guys. We're going to be able to find, like right now, they took a dive, but at the same time, the workforce world and the business world is right now trying to find ways to evolve and adapt to what has just occurred. So they might be down and out right now, but I'm telling you, new businesses are going to start popping up. New industries are going to start, you know, linking up. People are going to start merging with technology to get these things out here so that they can get back on their feet. And when they are you prepared? Are you prepared to make yourself visible? So, guys, this has been our segment today. It was a good topic. I don't know about you guys. It's a good topic, but it is definitely important to hone in on your skills, the job skills that you need to succeed in post-coronavirus world. I've been your host, Lissette Herndon. This has been Grindology. And guys, I will see you next Thursday. We're going to have another good topic that is going to help us in our professional lives. But tomorrow, Praise Break Fridays, right here on TTLO, we're going to close out the week. And then your girl will see you next Thursday. Y'all have a safe, wonderful, productive weekend. Love y'all. Thank you.